rather a sad question, this. In view of the apparent world shortage of meat and fats, do you consider that we shall ever again be able to go to the butcher and grocer and order what quantity and kind of meat and fats we require, or shall we have to be content with a generally lower standard of living than pre-war? Ralph Whiteman, I'm sure you can answer this.
I'm afraid that up to a point we shall, yes, have to be satisfied with less meat and less fat. It's much better distributed, mind, amongst the population than it was pre-war. But I cannot see very much hope of our going and ordering what we want from a butcher and getting all we want. There is an absolute world shortage. There's also this curious thing, as far as we're concerned, of a dollar shortage. And as far as I can see, we can't hope to replace the animals in the world very quickly. Certainly not cattle, certainly not sheep. Pigs could be replaced pretty quickly as long as there was enough coarse grain in the world to fatten pigs on. And I believe that the statistics are that world population has gone up to such an extent that there is no hope of our wasting food by feeding it to animals to make it more palatable for us.
Henriquez?
Well, I don't see why we shouldn't get back to our ration before the war, because there are other countries who've got rations far in excess of what our rations were even then. There is no reason why we should not enormously increase our production of meat in this country, provided you set your sails for a policy to do so. At the moment, we're not doing so. If we imported feeding stuffs in sufficient quantity here, and they could be got from non-dollar-saving countries to a certain extent, much more than they are, I'm sure of that, we could increase our own production of livestock enormously. But you can only do so if you throw overboard the present idiotic policy of the Ministry of Food and merge that whole ministry into the Ministry of Agriculture.
On the question of feeding stuffs, of course, I think it's a most extraordinary statement to say that the government is not doing, having a policy of trying to produce much more meat here. And, of course, we've been importing very much more feeding stuffs. If you take the last 2 or 3 years, we've been increasing enormously the amount of feeding stuffs that could be that have been imported. And, of course, the government is doing everything it possibly can in order to try and increase meat production here. Not only that, we are trying to increase meat production in the countries within the British Commonwealth on whose word we can rely, such countries as New Zealand and Australia. And we've made agreements with New Zealand to buy all the meat, exportable surplus of meat that they can produce for the next 5 or 7 years. And as you've seen in the papers this week, we've made a similar kind of agreement with the Australian government. But of course, you must remember that these agreements with the Commonwealth countries are all based on the system of bulk purchase, and without that system, it wouldn't be able to give the guarantee to the farmers in these empire countries, and we wouldn't have the prospect of building up these supplies. But I think that on the general question, Whiteman gave the fair answer, that it is the fact that owing to the world situation, we can't look, even with all these efforts, we can't look for an early increase in the amount of meat and fats that we can get. But certainly, the government is doing everything it possibly can to increase production here and to get greater supplies from abroad.
Henriquez?
I just want to say one word, that it is factually, surely, untrue that we are importing more feeding stuffs than we are before. I don't know the actual figures, but I believe it's 20% less than before the war.
Feeding stuffs, of course, as Whiteman says absolutely rightly, are short all over the world like many other kind of foods. What I was saying was that we have increased in the last 3 years enormously the amount of feeding stuffs imported into this country, and nobody can deny that because it's a fact.
I fancy there are 2 million2 million tons of surplus maize in America at this moment, aren't there?
Yes, you've got to pay dollars for it.
Well, can I, as Hutton, I'd like to say as an economist, you've just said, Foote, you've got to pay dollars for it. Well, we pay dollars for a lot of things, you know. When were the people of this country ever consulted as to whether they would like more eggs, more milk, more meat, more or less tobacco, or less something else? You see, the purchasing and the buying and the allocating and the rationing is all done by fiat, by decree. I can imagine, for instance, that some smokers, I used to be one up to a few months ago, would be prepared to give up a certain amount of tobacco to get, say, an egg a day or something like that. The stuff is in existence in certain parts of the world now, at a price. Of course, we know Argentina's prepared to stick us at a price. But you can buy certain things from certain countries at certain prices, but you can't have those things and the others. Now, the question was on meat and fats. We could have more meat and fats now, at this moment, if we took less as a nation of other imports. Now, those other imports include a lot of things that I myself, my wife, and the rest of us would not like to go without. But which do we want to go without more? Have we ever been asked? No.
But, well, of course, you have been asked in the sense in which every decision is taken in this country. It's really not the case, you know, to say that these things are settled by fiat and by decree. They're settled in exactly the same way in which every other matter is settled in this democratic country. That is, the government decides what it thinks is the right policy.
Yes.
It goes to the House of Commons and discusses it, and it's debated there. It's discussed freely throughout the country, and if people don't like it, then, of course, they've got the sanction of the vote. But it's really ridiculous to say that there's some different system of determining this than there is from determining everything else that happens in this country. It's determined through our parliamentary machine and through parliamentary discussion.
Well, the point I wish to make is that when there was no allocation and rationing of all these different things, the point didn't arise. It arises, however, when you have a very detailed rationing system, that you have to decide not how much each person shall get, but whether that person shall have this, an egg, one rasher of bacon per fortnight, or whatever it is, you see, or cigarettes and so many other things as well. I'm not anti-democratic. All I'm saying is that these things, decided in this way in such great detail, necessarily involve arbitrary decisions. Arbitrary decisions that you can't even discuss or debate about for more than a few minutes in the House of Commons.
Oh, well, of course, if you're proposing what happened before, to a great extent, of course, a lot of these things were decided by private traders, and they were decided by private traders in the interests of private profit. Now, what they try to do now in allocating how you're going to spend the money available to buy things from abroad is to buy the things which are necessary in the interests of the whole nation. And if you removed all the controls on that, you'd very soon find that we'd be back in the situation when many people, great masses of people in this country, millions of them unemployed, were left to root for themselves without a chance. But under this system of some form of controls, you can at least decide that the things you're going to import shall be the things which, on the whole, are the most important to bring into the country.
A rasher of bacon a fortnight.
May I, as a point of fact, just remind you that the calories that were granted to unemployed men in the five areas in 1931 to 33 were greater calories than many people have had on rations in this country, especially old people.
Well, if the health of the British people is so much worse, it's an extraordinary thing, isn't it, that many fewer children die in infantile mortality than died before, many fewer mothers die at the time of childbirth than died before, and that every statistic shows that, in fact, the health of the British people is much better today than it was even in 1938. Look at the children.
This is where I'm going to butt in. No, we've thrashed this question until it's very nearly dead. Yeah. And I think from what I've been hearing that none of us here need worry. It won't happen in our time.